Yes, Lord, we thank you and we praise you because you are worthy of all honor and glory and power and majesty. And Father, we are in awe of you. Lord Jesus, we are just in need of more of you. And Holy Spirit, Lord, we rely on you for everything. And so teach us today and help us, Lord. And Father, there's just so much going on in the world, so much in our individual lives. But Father, when we come before you, everything makes sense. And so, Lord, we turn it over to you, we trust in you, and we follow you. So lead us this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said,
amen.
Awesome. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Great to have you here this morning. Real quick, I just want to let you know, I was going to do a prophecy message or end time message today, but there's just not enough time. So Wednesday night, this Wednesday, we are going to do end times message. So if you're curious as to what and how everything works together with the Bible, all that's going on, then you're going to want to come Wednesday night for an extended time in God's Word and in looking at what's going on around us. But today, we are going to look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 14, and I've entitled our message, You Want It, You Got It. And you'll see what I mean as we move through here. If you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. Now, Matthew 7, verse 7 through 14, part of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says this, Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. For what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophet. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, as we read this, there's a lot to pull out of here, but we gain a little bit of insight if you look at Luke 11. You don't have to turn there. We're just going to talk about it. Luke 11, it mirrors what the passage we're looking at here. We see a lot of the similar things said. But Luke 11 tells us that the disciples came to Jesus and they said, teach us to pray. And then, of course, we have, you know, the Our Father who art in heaven, which is often called the Lord's Prayer, which is actually not the Lord's Prayer, but actually the disciples' model for prayer. It's a model prayer. And so we understand that Luke echoes the same thing. So here's what we have. We have the disciples asking how to pray. But people misunderstand that. There's a misconception that the disciples had no clue how to pray. This is not true. They knew how to pray. Why? Well, they were Jews. They grew up hearing prayers at every feast, every holiday. The rabbis, the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, they were known to pray out loud in the square so everyone could hear them and see how holy they were. But when they say, teach us how to pray, they want to know how to be men of prayer, to pray with power, with meaning, and not just some religious liturgy. Why would they ask this? Well, think about it. Can you imagine being there and hear Jesus, God in the flesh, praying? How powerful His prayers must have been, how it must have resounded inside their heart and into their soul. So what they're asking is, they're saying, look, we see a dynamic difference between the religious men who are praying to be seen and the humility and humbleness and the power of Jesus' prayers. And Jesus, by the way, He didn't pray like anyone else prayed. No one prayed, Father. Jesus prayed, Father, and he went even a step further and said, Abba, Father, Daddy. If you go to Israel, you'll often hear little kids running around going, Abba, Abba, Abba. They're saying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Jesus said, Daddy. Nobody called God Father. That was too intimate. But not only did Jesus speak of an intimacy in his prayer, he prayed with authority. He prayed with the power to heal and the power to forgive. The disciples have come to realize that prayer is power when you pray the way Jesus does. My question to you is, what are your prayers like? Are your prayers a religious mantra? Do you do it because, well, you know, it's dinner time, so let's pray? Or do you have an intimate relationship with God, with Jesus, where you take everything to Him? E.M. Bounds, he wrote 5 volumes on prayer. In one of his volumes, he says this, faith and hope and patience and all the strong, beautiful, vital force of piety are withered and dead in the prayerless life. The life of an individual believer, his personal salvation and personal Christian graces have their being, their bloom, their fruitage in prayer. E.M. Bounds wrote that, and yet on his deathbed, E.M. Bounds said that he wished he had prayed more. Wow. See, we need to stop talking about prayer, thinking about prayer, reading about prayer. We need to stop writing about prayer. We need to pray. But our prayers need to be heartfelt. They need to mean something and not some religious liturgy or some monologue that we recite over and over again. You know what I love? I love the innocent genuineness of children's prayers. Let me read you a few of them. Dear God, make me pretty because I'm not very smart. Dear God, my mom tells me there's a reason for everything on earth. I guess broccoli is one of your mysteries. Please make my parents understand that if I don't eat broccoli, I'll do better in school. Dear God, I promise never to use those words again, at least until my next shot. Yikes. Dear God, I hope my dog is with you in heaven. Please take care of him. Sorry if he chews your sandals. Dear God, I heard the moon was made of cheese. Tonight, half of it's missing. Did you get hungry? That's awesome. Dear God, my mommy is sad a lot since Daddy went away. Can you find him? Aww. And then this last one. Dear God, I don't feel alone anymore ever since I found out about you. Those are sweet prayers. Those are honest prayers. Even as ridiculous, it's honest. Listen, when you pray, are you honest to God about how you feel and what you think? That's important. But I want you to understand, this teaching isn't only about prayer. What it's really about is our heart's desire, what we hunger and thirst after. Because there's a lot of things in this world that people thirst after. So here's what Jesus says. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Now, real quick, this is a verse that I love. And an easy way to remember the sequence is ASK. It's an acronym. A, ASK, ESK, SEEK, K, KNOCK. Ask, seek, knock. Now, when I first got saved and I read that, I thought to myself, well, gosh, If I can ask, seek, and knock for anything, I'm going to start my list right now. First of all, if I'm going to ask, let's see, what do I want? Well, I want everything. Everybody does. Tishra Fear said everyone wants to rule the world, and I think they're right. But maybe I should start with what I don't want. I don't want to pay taxes. God, I don't want hardships. I don't want trials. I don't want difficulty ever, which means I don't want patience. But what are some of the things that most people in the world ask for of God? Well, people want what? Bigger houses. Most people, if you're like me and a freak about music, I want a surround sound system. The kind that blows your face, makes it change because it's so loud here. You can feel the air. That's what I want. Oftentimes, I want cool clothes, but when I find cool clothes, it's usually not in my size. That's why they're cool. I want to eat and never get any fatter. We all want a perfect body, right? Listen, we want that perfect job that has some authority with it. We want fast cars, fast motorcycles. Listen, I want a fast car, but without ever getting a ticket, no matter how fast I go. Because why? A ticket would be a trial, and I already said I don't want patience. You need patience for trials. Now, let's look at that list real quick, because I want you to hang that list on your belt. You're going to need it for the end of this message. Most people want a position, a job, a vocation with some authority, a big house, a health, body, food, clothing, sound system, gadgets, fast cars, no patience. You get all that. Hang that on your belt. Why? You want it, you got it. Watch. But if Jesus was talking about stuff, if we could find fulfillment in stuff, joy, if joy was found in stuff, if stuff was the answer, then America should be producing books on joy and fulfillment and how wonderful life is. But that's not the case, is it? In fact, listen, nearly 46,000 Americans commit suicide every year. Suicides outnumber homicides 5-3. Besides that, do you realize for every person who actually successfully takes their life, there were 25 others who tried to and didn't succeed? That means that 1,150,000 Americans want to die that so badly that they actually try to take their life. That doesn't count the ones who are just depressed and think about it but don't act upon it. Yet we have more stuff than any other nation in the world. We are it, people. You know what's a lucrative business in America that speaks volumes about the stuff we have? You know what's amazing? Storage facilities. Storage facilities are incredibly lucrative. Why? People need more stuff. They have to make room for more stuff, because they want to buy more stuff. So we need stuff to hold our stuff, to make room for new stuff, so we rent storage for the extra stuff. And then on Black Friday, we go, ooh, look, stuff's on sale. I think we're stuffed. You want it, you got it. But understand, Jesus isn't talking about material things. The fact, he made it very clear in the previous chapter. Remember, this is all one flowing thought, Sermon on the Mount. He said in Matthew 6:19, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And then if you jump down to chapter 6, verse 31, we're coming up on my life verse, but he says this, Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall you eat? What shall you drink? What shall you wear? After these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you that you need all these things. And then here's my life verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Let me read that again. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Hold that on your belt too. See, on one side of your belt, you have that list of stuff. On the other side of your belt, hold this Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But Pastor Randy, are you saying when Jesus says, ask, seek, knock, it will be given to everyone who asks, receives? He who seeks, finds. He who knocks, it will be open. Notice it doesn't say, if you ask, you might receive. No, he says, if you ask, you receive. But we can't reduce these to material things. Because if we reduce this to material things, then asking reduces God to a celestial Santa Claus. Seeking to a materialistic Easter egg hunt, and knocking to a Christian trick-or-treat. And that's not God's heart. God has created us with concepts greater than a car, a roof over our head, food, or fancy clothes. But sometimes you wouldn't know it by looking at some churches. You know, I was, because of time, I can't do it. I have some videos of these different pastors, a whole slew of them, asking their congregation for $50 to $60 million to buy a jet. And one of the pastors said, the reason why I need a jet is because I can't, his words, I can't fly in a tube full of demons. Meaning another commercial airline. So if you're in a, if you fly commercial, you're a demon in a tube. I think that should be Spirit Airlines' slogan, right? Spirit Airline, fly in a tube full of demons. Wouldn't that be awesome? No, it wouldn't. But see, materialism caters to self. Materialism fills seats. And too often, here's the fact, simply to be mindful of eternal life takes sometimes too much faith, too much belief, too much trust in what God has promised. Why? Well, because we're, me too, we get caught up in the tangible. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, we just read it, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We should treasure the things of heaven more than we treasure the things of this earth. In other words, what do you hunger and thirst after? By the way, there's nothing wrong with prosperity. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's two kinds of prosperity. There's godly prosperity and there's ungodly prosperity. Godly prosperity is when you keep your prosperity in proper perspective. Ungodly is when that's all you want, is more prosperity from a tangible, earthly perspective. There's a great verse talking about the godly prosperity. It's found in Psalm 1:1. In Psalm 1:1 through 3, it says this, Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Watch this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. Now, the fruit is not... it's not tangible. It's spiritual. And the leaves are those godly activities that accompany fruit. How do I know? Galatians chapter 5, verse 21 through 26 tells us what the fruit is. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. See, the fruit of the Spirit is a heart attitude. And by the way, you know why the Holy Spirit gives us love, joy, peace, long-suffering? It's so that we can bear fruit. When people see those attributes in you, that is to make Christ more appealing. It proclaims the change that Christ makes in our life. The leaves are those surrounding actions. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. But then the leaves are when you act in love, when you give forgiveness, when you are merciful, when you are have this servant attitude. When you have a servant, humble servant heart. Some people have taken this scripture, ask, seek, and knock, and turned it into, well, if I'm a child of God and He's my daddy, all I got to do is ask for whatever I want. Well, that's called spoiled brat. Dad, I want something. It doesn't work like that. A few years ago, Riley was much younger, and Jennifer and I went to Venice Beach. And we hadn't been there in forever, and, you know, I don't know, it'd been like 35 years for me since I had been there. I was like, all right, let's go. And when you walk along Venice Beach, there's all these vendors, right? They got artwork, there's musicians, and all this crazy stuff. Well, lo and behold, of course, the head shops, they put their paraphernalia out there. And, you know, some of it, you can't tell that it, you know, what it is. It looks like glass artwork. Well, of course, Riley's little. And she goes, ooh, I want that. That's pretty. I'm like, you are not getting a crack pipe. But she didn't know. But see, that's us. Sometimes as adults, we are like little kids. We don't realize. We don't realize. God knows what's best for us. See, this scripture is saying, ask for spiritual things, things that matter. Ask, seek, knock. And by the way, this ask, seek, knock, it's in the present imperative. What does that mean? That means God, Jesus, is telling us to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. In other words, we're never to stop. It should be daily. It should be ongoing. And by the way, why should we stop? I don't know about you, but I have a lot of issues to deal with. I need God's help daily. So yeah. And there's some beautiful factors to that. But Pastor Randy, what spiritual things should we be asking for? Well, how about, here's a good thing. How about ask for a deeper understanding of God's Word. To get to know the Lord Jesus better. And by the way, look at this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is sound theology, right teaching. It just means good teaching. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. That's where people bail, because they don't want correction. For instructions in righteousness. Righteousness means right living. Not my idea of right living, God's idea of right living. That the man of God may be complete. That word complete means mature. And we'll always be maturing until the day we die. I mean, we never arrive. He says, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, this is the core issue. This is the core issue. Too many Christians don't believe the Word of God, don't follow the Word of God. In effect, when we don't believe and fulfill God's Word, you know what we're doing? We're doubting, we're questioning the validity of God's Word, and that is very dangerous. Why is that dangerous? Well, Genesis, and for some reason God has been going to Genesis a lot lately, and I'm listening, Lord. But He says this in Genesis 3, verse 1 through 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said, excuse me, and he said to woman, Has God indeed said, see, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, God never said they couldn't touch it. She added to the word of God. Then the serpent said to woman, you will not surely die. For God knows the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Did Satan say, go over there, Eve, pluck a piece of fruit and eat it and give it to your husband? No. He didn't tell her what to do. He only asked a question. All he did was get her to question God's word. Is that really true? That's what he does to you and I. Is God really telling you to knock, ask, seek, knock every day, all the time? Is he really telling you to do that? Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. And if we believe, here you go. Let's say you believe we are asking, seeking, knocking. But what are you asking, seeking, and knocking for? Big car? Fast car? Big house? Nice clothes? How about asking for more opportunity to share Christ? Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? You're like, I'm not a preacher. Oh, yes, you are. You're a testimony. We should be like Isaiah. When God says, who can I send? You should be, send me. In fact, why don't we ask that God would send us, bring someone to us, open the door? Do you realize we all have opportunity every day, just not everybody takes the opportunity? Why? Because we're questioning God's truth. We're afraid. But Pastor Randy, I would love to do that, but I'm kind of an introvert. Well, pray for more boldness then. Remember Paul, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Paul, the guy who is like a dynamo for the Lord. Here's what he said. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. And for me, in other words, are you going to pray for me? That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mysteries of the gospel. For I am ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought speak. Pastor Eddie, I ought speak? Yes, you ought. I ought. We're otters. We should be speaking boldly. Imagine what God did to the world with 12 men. Willing. Most of them uneducated. He turned the world upside down. What could God do in this valley if just 100 HBCers said, I ought. Therefore, I'm going to knock. I'm going to ask, seek, and knock every day. Listen, if you want it, you got it. You just got to ask. By the way, there's another reason why God is telling us, Jesus is telling us here, to ask, seek, and knock. Why? Because, see, as I begin to ask and seek and knock, you know what happens? Maybe I don't have a hunger, but it gets developed in me. You know what I used to buy a lot of? I used to buy a lot of gun magazines, car magazines, motorcycle and boat magazines. You know how stupid that is? Because what I'm basically doing is I'm paying for advertisements. Because that's what it is. As I look through the gun magazines, I'm like, ooh, I want that one. Ooh, that motorcycle is nice. Ooh, look at that. It's so God goes, I know your nature. So how about you do this? Put the magazine away and seek me. And the more you seek me, the more you go, ooh, I want to be more used by you. Ooh, I want to evangelize more. See, that's the thing. I want more knowledge of God. I want His life, His nature, His graciousness. I want His unexplainable love so that I can love others, even those that are hard to love. Huh. See, that's what God wants to give to us. We should ask, God, soften my heart. God, help me evangelize more. God, give me more of a passion and a hunger for prayer. Father God, remove the plank. Help me remove the plank from my own eye so I can help my brother with his little speck. See, we see it backwards. We think, oh, I just have a speck. Look at that plank in his eye. It's really the other way around, folks. When you start not being able to forgive someone, it is you who are the problem. It means you're prideful. You think your sins are less than someone else's. Or how about this? Lord, help me stop willfully sinning because I know it's wrong. When we do that, when we pray for these things, we will begin to see more clearly God's faithfulness. We will just begin to see just how awesome He is. We will sit back and watch changes begin to happen in our life. We'll begin to realize that if we ask, we seek, and we knock, that He's been giving to us this whole time. And then you know what eventually happens? When you or I get in a posture where we're continually asking and seeking and knocking after God, one day we'll go, you know what, God, you know what I really want? I just want you. I just want you. You're the better thing. You're the best thing. You're the only thing. In fact, you're not a thing. You're a person. And I want more of you in my life. But what is our focus? What are you asking? What are you seeking? What does your knocking look like? I pray it's not a religious exercise. And listen, I got to be honest. There's times when my prayers become that. They become mechanical and just a thing I'm doing. But then there are those times when I snap out of that, what am I doing? I'm talking to God here. And it becomes so intimate. It's rich communication with God. And He speaks to me and I hear Him and I talk to Him and His Word is alive. Everything, it works. Why does it work? Because He said so. Do you believe it? His Word said, don't let the enemy tell you otherwise. You are a child of God and He has great things for you. Now, I want to show you the three D's in this next section. Watch. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, he would give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, and by the way, we're all evil, we're all sinners, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? Now notice here he says the first thing. He says, or what man is there among you who would give his son, who if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Over in the Middle East, there are these little limestones. They're kind of round and smooth. They're dusty. You could, if you held it, you could think it was a little biscuit, you know, a little dusty biscuit. Well, what he's saying here is a loving father, if his kid said, Abba, 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 you know, he's hungry, you're not going to go, here's a bread, broken teeth. He's not going to do that. The father, a good father doesn't want to deceive, the first D, deceive his children. And then he says, verse 10, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Now, some commentators will tell you the serpent here, he wouldn't poison his son. I don't think so. That's not what this is saying. This is more likely referring to the law. Why do I say that? You'll see here in a moment. But understand, a scaled fish is kosher. It's clean. However, a snake or an eel was considered unclean. So what he's saying here is a loving father wouldn't want to defile his child. So you don't want to destroy them. You don't want to deceive them, and you don't want to defile them. And people go, well, no, I think this is a poisonous snake. Well, no, why? If you go over to Luke chapter 11, verse 12, a parallel verse to this, it says this, or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, you say, but scorpions don't kill. Some do, but more importantly, here's the thing. Over in the Middle East, some of their scorpions are a little more painful. Here, if you get poked by a scorpion, most likely it's just a little worse than a bee sting. But over there, they're a little more poisonous. Still wouldn't kill a man, but it could kill a child. So the concept here is a loving father doesn't want to deceive, doesn't want to defile, and doesn't want to destroy. Now, who does? Who does that sound like? Satan. Satan wants to deceive you. Did God really say? Satan wants to defile you. Hey, this sin isn't that bad. Satan wants to destroy you, kill, steal, and destroy. That is not God's heart. God's heart wants to give you good gifts. And he says this, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to him who asks? God hasn't always, and God still doesn't always answer my prayers the way, let me clarify, the way I want him to answer. But God always answers the way I need him to answer. I just don't realize it. Right? Then a day came, I'm praying for this and this for years or however long. And then a day came and I'm like, God, you never answered my prayer. And then the day comes that I realize he did answer my prayer, but he gave me something far greater. Like his love. And what happens is my heart became so grateful because I understood, there are good gifts and there are awesome gifts, right? Here's a good gift, right? You tell someone, hey, you know what I'd like for my birthday? I'd like this. And they get it for you. Like, oh, that's so good. Thank you. But you know what an awesome gift is? You ever have one of these where it's something you didn't ask for, but you really needed? And once you get it, you're like, that's the best gift you could have given me. Or it was something from their heart that meant a lot. Do you realize that's what Jesus Christ did for you and I? I didn't know I needed salvation. I didn't know I needed him. Yet while I was a sinner, while you were a sinner, Christ died for us. You and I would have never asked. I would have never asked for salvation. I didn't believe in God to ask for that. He knew what to supply for us. And the day came when you and I realized, and to say that our hearts were grateful, doesn't that, it's just an understatement, isn't it? And can I tell you, if you haven't surrendered your heart to Christ, you are so missing out. With all we know about God's mercy and grace, there's another aspect. Hang on to your hats, folks. There's another aspect of God's giving that is so overlooked. For that, we need to look at the parallel verse in Luke 11. And you can just jot it down, look at it later. It's almost parallel, but he adds some things. Look at this. Luke 11, verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, watch this, will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? But wait. Pastor Randy. When I got saved, I received the Holy Spirit. Yeah, well, Jesus is talking to his followers here, which means people who believe in him. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, comes from down from the Father of lights. The Holy Spirit is that good and perfect gift. First, it was Jesus who gives us salvation, and then once we receive salvation, he gives us the Holy Spirit. But here, the knock, seek, and ask, or I did that backwards, sorry. I'm dyslexic. I really am. But anyways, seek, knock, okay. It's in the present imperative. So what he's saying is you and I should be asking to be filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and filled with the... We're to be refilled often with the fresh outpouring of His Spirit. Doesn't mean you didn't have Him to begin with, but there are those times when God will give you this equipping when you need it the most. You're going through heartache. God fills you with the Spirit so that you can endure it. You have a task that you really want to bring God glory. He'll fill you with the Spirit to bring Him glory. You want to know His Word deeper. It's the Holy Spirit who teaches us. Jesus says, ask, seek, knock. Now, I want to encourage you. Check this out. June 5th. Sunday, June 5th. It's Pentecost Sunday. That's the day that the Holy Spirit birthed the church in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And I'm going to explore it. It's quite amazing, the day itself. So we're going to have a special Pentecost day. Now, Pastor Randy, are you telling me that HBC is Pentecostal? No. Not that there's anything wrong. There are brothers and sisters. We baptize too, and we're not Baptists. The Pentecost is a biblical concept, okay? So here's what I want you to do, and this is up to you. If I were to ask you, do you want more of God's Spirit in your life? Every believer is going to say, of course I do. Then here's what I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to ask, seek, and knock every day between now and Sunday the 5th. And then we're going to have a special Pentecost Sunday service talking about Pentecost, talking about the Holy Spirit coming. And then as a church, we're going to ask for the infilling of the Spirit together. So I want to encourage you every day to go, and let's see. Let's see. I'm getting excited. Can you tell? I got to hold back. I'm getting Pentecostal. What's wrong with my feet? Let's see. God says He will give. What are we going to ask for? Not a house, not a car, not clothes. We're going to ask God, fill us with Your Spirit. He promises. So I'm excited. I hope you are too. Verse, I can't see. 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophet. Now notice, the Lord doesn't say, if you don't want people to do something to you, don't do it to them. There isn't a negative don't. There's only a positive do. Why? God is love. Love is action. Love is not passive. Love is action. And by the way, God won't ask us to do anything that He hasn't already done for us, right? John 1:4-19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. So here's the thing. What would you like someone to do to you? Everyone here would like someone to bless us. Well, how about you bless somebody? He says, do unto others. He doesn't say the golden rule, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. And then what I'll say, I ain't doing nothing for you. See, that's where it's backwards. God says, do. Then He says this. Verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few who find it. Now, to summarize this, you can find Proverbs 14:12, 12:15, and 16:25 say this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but of course it leads to destruction. That's the idea here. The broad way is anything that feels good to you, just do it, enjoy yourself. But the right way is God's way, and it's very narrow. Very narrow. He says narrow and difficult. Now, people often say, Pastor Randy, look, I understand you believe in God, but Christians, you guys are so narrow-minded. And I'm like, thank you. Yes, I am. Hey. But people, do you realize everyone is narrow-minded? Imagine. You got a flight to Europe Would you ask the barista at Starbucks to fly the plane? No. You want a pilot. If you're going to have heart surgery, you don't want an auto mechanic. You want a surgeon. If you want to learn martial arts, you aren't going to go to a clown. So why in the world do people think that you can have a savior anyway? No, there's one way. There's one savior. His name is Jesus Christ. It's over. End of discussion. But now let's get back to the theme. So we laid that. There's some clarity there. But he says, seek and you will find. Once again, seek and what? You will find. Ask and it will be given. Knock and it will be opened to you. And by the way, when it says, seek and you will find, that brings me such peace. Why? Well, let's say that there's somebody and they don't know the Lord. Or let's say there's someone who's in a cult or a false religion. If they're really seeking after God, guess what God promises? They will find Him. So if I go and I share the truth with someone and they reject me, I'm okay with that because I know that if they're really seeking after God, they're going to find Him and they will come out of that or they'll accept God for who He is. So it takes all the pressure off me. I love that. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me. Those who seek me diligently will find me. So that's why when someone says, well, I've been looking for God, but I just can't. No, you are not. You're just trying to pacify a pastor. Stop it. 1 John 5:14 says this, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Not according to my will, according to His will. Now, I realized something, and it blew my mind. You ready to have your mind blown? I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. Remember that list? A position, you know, be kind of like a manager. Remember that list with a big house, body, food, clothing, sound system, fast cars? Remember I told you to hang that list on your belt? And then I remember I told you Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You want it, you got it. Do you realize that whole list we receive? A big house? For 2,000 years, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I go, you'll be there also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And talk about a lavish house. We're going to live with God. You think He lives in a slum? Forget the lifestyles of the rich and famous. The lifestyle of the holy and righteous is going to blow that away. No more trials. Why? There's no testing, no sickness, no disease, which means you don't need patience. Yay! We'll be outside of time. Everything we need, we have right there in Christ. His glory will shine in every corner. How about position of authority? We get to reign with Christ and sit on His throne. It don't get higher than that, folks. Fast car? We'll be able to travel at the speed of thought. Jesus Christ was in heaven and He stepped into the room. It didn't, pastors say He walked through the door. He didn't walk through. He stepped from one dimension to the other at speed of thought. You and I will be able to do that. We'll go, we're in heaven. We're back here. And no speeding tickets. They can't catch us. Oh. And surround sound. Revelation 5:11. Then I looked and I heard the voices of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and 1,000,000, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And that's all around us. Saints and angels singing at the top of their voice. Can you imagine the goosebumps? No speakers can handle what that's going to sound like. And then on top of that, Zephaniah 3:17, God is going to sing over us. What about body? No more illness. No more calories. Just heavenly glorified bodies. And what about cool clothes? Does it get any cooler than to be wrapped in Christ's flawless righteousness from head to toe? Eat your heart out, Gucci. Tailor-made by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, even in our selfish asking, God's going to meet that too. But right now, He wants us to ask for godly things, glory things, for things that bring Christ glory, so that when we get there, He says, and all the stuff that you really wanted, the selfish stuff, guess what? You get it all. That's my God. That's your God. That's our God. He gives and He gives and He gives. The problem is, sometimes we fail to what? Ask, seek, knock. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word. We thank You that we can start asking, seeking, and knocking today for the right stuff. The stuff here on earth that will bring glory in heaven. Because when we get to heaven, the stuff there will make this earth look so pathetic. Lord, we just thank You for Your incredible love. Your mercy. Your undeserved grace. Your provision. Your protection. Your wisdom. Your correction. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You reside in us. Flawless, failed man. Yet You dwell in us willingly to help us, to instruct us, to teach us, to grow us. And so, Father, this morning, as our hearts are bowed, if you're here this morning and you know that maybe your prayer life hasn't been what it should be, maybe it's become stale and kind of mundane and going through the motion, and you want a deeper prayer life, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want a deep, praise the Lord. Awesome. I love this honesty. There's something to be ashamed of. It's just admitting that there is so much more to God. So much more. And if you have a great prayer life, will you come see me so I can give you my list of things? Because I don't know about you, but I never feel like my prayer life is enough. Just like E.M. Bounds. Man who thought about prayer and prayed all the time and said at the end of his life he needed more prayer. Maybe that's you. I just want you to know this. Maybe you didn't raise your hand because you're uncomfortable with the thought and the idea. Listen, be honest with yourself. And also let me just say this. Between now and June 5th, that you would be asking, seeking, and knocking for God to fill you afresh and anew. A fresh outpouring of His Spirit into your life. I'm just going to pray that you do that. I'm going to do that every day. Because I believe God will answer. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him cheat you out of all the power that God wants to instill upon you. And so, Lord, we thank You for this time in Your Word. I thank You for my brothers and sisters being honest. And Lord, if anyone needs prayer, I pray they would come up and begin today with prayer with these deacons that are up here and deacons' wives. And Father, I just pray that there is a response to You, not to me, but to You, Lord. And Father, I'm excited about every day in Your house, every day in Your Word. And so now, Lord, we're going to stand and sing one last song from our heart to You before we go out into the wicked, wicked world. In Jesus' name, amen. Prophecy Wednesday. Don't forget. God bless you.